Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Tom Allen here, and welcome to the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast from Virgin Radio. Coming up, the hilarious duo Josh Widdicombe and Nish Kumar pop in to give us the scoop on their new Sky Max show, Hold the Front Page. Fabulous Fern Britton tells us all about her new series, No Place Like Home. And acting superstar Ralph Little chats the latest season of Death in Paradise. All of that and so much more to come, so it's over to, well, me, to kick things off and tell us who's up first. Our next guests are comedy superstars, but now they're swapping jokes for journalism at newsrooms across the country in their new show, Hold the Front Page, on Sky Max, and now at 9 p.m. tonight. Here to prove that local journalism is never dull and often quite bizarre, please welcome Josh Widdicombe and Nish Kumar.
All right.
Hello. What's this? All right. Don't you come in here with your alrights, Josh?
Oh, sorry.
Hello. Would you say all right if Chris all Evans right. was here, you Josh?
Exactly. No, I'd be sweating with nerves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you show some of that respect to me, please. Just because I sometimes get the phases wrong.
You'd be genuflecting in terror.
Yeah, you better. All right. What is this? Welcome
greetings,
to the show.
Greetings, Tom.
Good morning to both of you. Well done. Nish, we were worried. Were you stuck in traffic or something?
I was stuck in traffic, which feels racist to me.
Why?
Well, the traffic didn't target Josh. I've come to a conclusion. Yeah, racism.
Well, I don't know. Straight through.
Yeah, you were, weren't you, Josh? Yeah. But you live in trendy East London, don't you?
I do live in trendy East London.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, that's the thing. You get lovely time there. Now, you've got a new show you want to tell us about, don't you? Hold the Front Page. I've watched it.
Are you this hostile to all your
guests?
Yes,
that's what I'm going to be like now. I want to be actually a shock jock. I want to be one of those, I'm looking
big on Howard Stern, isn't it?
Yeah. What's it about then?
Give us the pitch.
What's it? You wanted to make it, so come on. Why don't we watch it? Lorraine won't be like this when you go on Lorraine.
No,
they're not letting us on Lorraine, are they?
They're not letting you on it, Nish.
I go on Lorraine. And what will happen is they'll talk to you about your show for about 3 minutes, and then they'll flash up a photo of you and your wife taken somewhere and ask you about your relationship.
It's lovely.
I remember that happened.
Now, stop plugging Lorraine's joke. Lovely as it is. You're
guys,
here.
Lorraine. Fantastic broadcaster.
You've been transported in at great expense from the PR company at the television show.
Yeah.
And they have asked you to come in and talk about Hold the Front Page, which I've actually watched the first episode of and I really, really loved it. It's hilarious. You've seen it, haven't you, Rachel?
I very much enjoyed your dressing up.
Oh, thank you very much.
And you very much enjoyed the dressing up.
Do you think?
Yeah, he did, Nish.
I loved it.
So absolutely. If you don't know what it is...
Me and Nish, before I was a comedian, I was a very low-level journalist. Mm. And so me and Nish are going back into for the first time, six local papers, one a week, to see whether we can get the front page as journalists. And it was much more difficult than we thought it was going to be.
Journalism's hard.
Yeah.
Does. Kudos to Rachel.
Yeah. Very much.
See? Only person in here with a real job, as far as I'm concerned.
Basically, yeah, that is completely true. Yeah, completely true. But I'm furious about it because I think it's such a great idea, because I think there's something so brilliant and enchanting about local news. When you go to the Mercury in East Anglia, or you go to it's the Blackpool Gazette you go to first, isn't it? I'm referencing the Mercury because that's one of my favourites. I just love the sort of ephemeral stuff, the kind of petty anger, the rage, the very serious photographs that you get of people like, I got a turnip and it looks like my ex-husband, and like someone's angry about it, and that sort of very angry face.
This is the thing, it's kind of like you get to kind of explore the kind of minutiae of Britain through it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's an interesting way to see the country.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of exactly the kind of people I imagine Tom Allen is obsessed with.
Well, I love it. Yeah, absolutely. I love that sort of that incidental life, you
yeah,
know, that
exactly.
exists between the between the highfalutin city people and the kind of, you know, the quiet places. It's that it's the sort of the incidental life. That's where all existence is.
It was such an interesting. We met a lot of really interesting people who have some very specific interests, yeah. and I think that was part of the charm of it. But also, the journalists work at, like, the local papers, they work really hard,
yeah.
and they're really smart.
We didn't realise that.
I think we thought if we take a picture of a funny looking vegetable,
yeah.
we're quids in.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're really engaged.
They were quite demanding. Like, so you turn up basically at the newspaper's office,
yeah.
which is bigger than you'd imagine, actually.
Yeah.
Printed they're media really is still thriving.
Still thriving.
absolutely thriving. You turn up and then you speak to the editor, and on the first one, the Blackpool Gazette editor says, right, you're going to go out and find some stories. You guys think you can just get a front page immediately, and they're like, everybody wants the front page. Don't think you're just going to walk in here and get it. You're still quite arrogant and think you can get it.
I
mean, if you want to throw that word around, you throw that word around.
Okay. Ambitious.
I'll catch that word and second it. It's arrogant is a perfect term for what we were when we strode into those newsrooms.
And then you kind of try and find a story.
Yeah.
And then struggle quite a lot.
Also, the thing that seems to have been observed by several of our friends and wives and partners is that we wear suits the whole time.
Yes.
And a lot of people have used the phrase stupid little suits to describe. But it's what's clear to me is no one discussed. There wasn't a production meeting where they said you have to turn up in your suit.
No.
We just
wear suits for this, right?
We dress like how we think people who have jobs dress.
There is something of the fishes out of water.
And now we turn up and Rachel, who's a journalist, is wearing massive green boots.
That's what was missing. That's why you didn't get the front page.
Don't give it away, Rachel.
You've got to go out walking around, finding stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like... It was like... terrifying. But first day, we thought we'd found a story because we were on the beachfront and we met Bill Beaumont from Question of Sport.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we were like, this is incredible. And then they were like, yeah, Bill Beaumont's always around. And
yeah, he lives around the corner. He's in the paper literally every week.
Yeah,
it's not as easy as it seemed. I mean, but then Boris Johnson turns up in town. You think that would be a shoe-in? No.
Yeah.
Nish and him have got history, it turns out.
We don't have personal history. We've never met.
Turns out they weren't so inclined to invite you to the press conference. So my favourite moment was just you shouting at a car from a bush.
Is a story in itself.
Comedian Nish Kumar seen shouting from a bush at a speeding Land Rover.
Yeah.
That's all that happens, basically. But it's a wonderful show.
Thank you, Tom.
And I'm very excited for this series. Thanks so much for joining us today, you guys. Lovely to have you here. You've been brilliant. Well done. Good luck with the rest of the press stuff. Yeah. Bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Not only is our next guest a national treasure, but we'd go as far as saying she's our favourite Britain. Yes. She's been on our screens and writing our books for decades. And her fascinating episode of No Place Like Home airs on Channel 5 tomorrow at 9 p.m. When it comes to local history, we've all got lots to learn. So we yearn to turn to Fern Britain. Fern.
Oh, good morning, you two. How are you both? All right?
We're very well.
Very well.
Thank you, Fern. Enjoying this first proper day back of the new year. Have you been having a nice 2023?
So far, not too bad, actually. A couple of nice walks on the beach, chatting to strangers with our dogs, sniffing each other's bums. And, not with the strangers, but the doggies. You know, all those nice things. And it's really, rather lovely. Today, however, winds of 45 miles an hour,
yes,
rain.
Yes, not a great day for walking.
No.
Oh, lovely. We've been talking about small comforts, actually, Fern. And do you have any sort of small comforts you like to do this time of year? Anything?
Yes. I was listening and I thought, you know, here's a few.
Oh, good.
A head tickle when you're not expecting it.
Right. Oh, I see. Oh, that sounds nice. Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Just somebody just sort of tickling your head?
Yes, my grown-up children, they might just walk past and give me an affectionate tickle on the head. That's nice.
That sounds nice. That sounds lovely. Yes, I understand.
Then,
yes.
I think this is the big one. Driving home from the fish and chip shop with a warm bag of fish and chips on your lap.
Oh, that is a great one, Fern. Our producers here are clapping. Clapping in the control room. I'm obsessed with fish and chips, actually. And I like to... What we've always done in our family is put the fish and chips on in the footwell of the passenger seat, actually, and put the heating on. Put the heating on in the car and blast them so they keep warm for when you get back.
Very good. Nice. And the scent, the aroma fills the car.
And I love that. But then sometimes, have you ever cleaned a bathroom with vinegar and lemon juice? And it's very good for getting rid of lime scale, sort of natural kind of way of doing it. But then afterwards, your bathroom smells like a chip shop, which I don't mind, but some people take umbrage at.
No, I wouldn't mind that.
I wouldn't mind that at all. I love.
Are you salt, vinegar and ketchup?
No.
Or how do you do it?
I'm a bit of a purist myself. I just like lots of salt and vinegar. And what I really enjoy, and I did this the other day, in Dorset, actually, because Rachel's been to Dorset recently, walking round a town there with an open bag of chips. And they were slightly too hot. But on a cold day, it was wonderful. Wonderful treat.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that was really lovely, actually. One of my favourite meals of Christmas, I think. Actually, just a bag of chips.
Yes, impromptu food is always the best, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You were talking about the crisp at the back of the bar, you know, and all those things. The things you're not expecting.
Exactly.
It's just great. Someone just suddenly produces a bacon sandwich. Oh,
isn't that wonderful? Oh, on a cold morning. Oh, a bacon sandwich you can't argue with. And also, chips off other people's plates. I always think of something nice. And I sort of often wonder about setting up a restaurant where you have to, like, everybody eats the plate next to them on the table next to them. So you order a plate of chips, but it's the people next to you who eat yours and the people on the other side you eat.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I might set that up as a thing. I mean, it's a new idea. There's no reason why you would have heard of it, Fern.
It's
a nonsense idea. I don't think anybody would back me.
I'm all for nonsense. Love it.
Now, less nonsense. I want to talk about this wonderful show you're part of, No Place Like Home, which is on Channel 5. Now, I've watched it. I absolutely loved it. It's basically, is this a fair description? It's a show where you go to your childhood home or homes and you learn about the history of the places where you grew up.
Yes, that you know nothing about, which is interesting. Because you think you know where you grew up and when you were little and where you went to school and where you rode your bike about the lanes and things.
Yeah.
You think you know it pretty well. But there's all this stuff that people have kept secret from you. And then we went and discovered it. And so I grew up in Buckinghamshire in a small village called Chalfont St Giles. And my first house was about 5 miles away in a place called Gerald's Cross, which was rather smart and had a lot of actors and directors there because it was so close to Denham Studios, Pinewood, Ealing, the BBC.
Oh,
you know, had everything there. So my father, back in 1957-58, he had signed a 3-year contract with British Lion Films. He's an actor. He was an actor, Tony Britton.
Yes, the wonderful Tony Britton.
So I was only a baby, but we were moved out to Gerald's Cross to be in this lovely house. Then, unfortunately, my parents' marriage immediately broke up. So I lived in that house with my mum and my sister.
Yes.
And I went back there for this programme. Haven't been back for, you know, I'm now 65.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a long time. And I was taken through the history of the house before even we moved in. And there's this great story. I won't tell you all of it, but there was a maid who lived upstairs.
Yes.
And was called, well, arrested by the police, shall we say.
Lucy.
So something funny was going on there. She went on to... Apparently, she married several times and had lots of children. Or maybe she never married. Or maybe it was bigamist marriage. She had lots of children and lived to a ripe old age. But she was a bit of a saucy one. And then there was a woman who lived there who had decorated the house and treated it exactly in terms of how the modern house should be. And I think this is probably around the 1920s or something.
Uh-huh.
And I had someone who was like, imagine, I don't know who the editor of Homes Beautiful or Chic Interiors or whatever those magazines are called, it was a woman like that who lived in our house and made it the house that it should be, that we should live in.
Because it was a beautiful, beautiful building as well. It's that one of those sort of early 20th century, isn't it? Sort of arts and crafts kind of style
exactly.
houses.
Exactly, yeah. Built just before the war. I don't know, the First World War, yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely lovely as well, because I think what's great about the show is that you see in tandem, you see your own history playing out and also the history of the building, which has played a part in informing you. And I love that. I thought that was very... Because, of course, history is all around us, isn't it? And I think...
Absolutely. I
know you're a fan of studying the past, and I am too. I like... Mm. I don't know. I like knowing where we've come from, and it does form who we are, and it does... It's part of us, isn't it? Often without realising.
Yes, and comforting as well as discomforting.
Vern, it's been so great to chat to you. Thank you so much for joining us here. And this new show, No Place Like Home, begins tomorrow night, which is the 4th of January, at 9 p.m. on Channel 5. And your Cornwall show is at 8, is that right?
That's right, yes. Oh, double whammy.
Double
I'm amazed.
Whammy,
I think someone at Channel 5 must have made a mistake there and thought, I don't think they realise they got 2 hours of me. That's a bit...
Don't be daft. Don't be daft. We're all going to love it. It'll be lovely and perfect. Perfect to cheer us all up this time of year.
It's so lovely to talk to you. And yes, it's been really lovely. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Fern. We'll see you soon. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Bless you. Happy New Year. Bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
He's been on our screens for over a decade, and little by little, he's won our hearts too. Now he's back, starring as D.I. Neville Parker in the 12th series of Death in Paradise, which begins tomorrow night on BBC One and iPlayer. Here to tell us more, we get by with a little help from Ralph Little.
Hey.
Ralph.
Enjoyable few little puns in that intro. I was very, very impressed.
It's not my work, actually. The team.
Distance yourself.
This is very much an example of not owning it.
Yes, it is good, isn't it? I've never read it before. The team worked very hard on it. It's been weeks actually doing it, Ralph, so they appreciate that.
You can tell. Yeah.
Thank you so much. We're going to talk about Death in Paradise, the ultimate escapist, feel good, great telly, which starts tomorrow on BBC.
Yes.
Are you excited about the new series going out?
I am, actually. I think people are going to love it. I think, I say this every year, to be honest, but I think this is... I think this is our best series. It's certainly it's our best series yet that's involved me. I think I can't speak for others, but I think this is our strongest series yet. There's all the usual, the puzzles and murder mysteries and, how did this happen in a locked room and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's all of that. That's the hook of the show that brings people to watch. But, it's character. It's people who really care about the characters, which is why people stay. That's what...
Yeah.
This feels like a sort of slogan. Come for the murder, stay for the character.
That's a good slogan. That's exactly
I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
This year in particular, all of the main players, all the main characters have some real kind of personal challenges that they have to go through. And my character, Neville, has... his biggest challenge yet, and it's things get quite tough for him.
Really?
I can't do any more spoilers,
I've only seen the first episode. I imagine it's about the love interest, but is that not? It's more than that.
There's just loads going on. There's loads going on for all of the characters, and it's all intertwined and everything. So it's a tough time for a few people, and challenges to overcome. But it's a bit of a roller coaster at times, and this is all happening against the backdrop of them going, but he never even took a fork from the drawer. How could he have been stabbed by one?
I describe it as feel good, which I know is sort of slightly strange considering somebody always gets murdered.
Well, it's one of the funniest things about the show, and we kind of just lean into it because we love it. The sort of weird juxtaposition of this lightheartedness and this really serious stuff that we're doing. Nothing which is typified most strongly by the very fact that it's like every episode is like body murdered, white face, bullet wound, whatever, and it's like sinister music, close up of dead body, and then opening credits comes, the jauntiest opening credit theme you've ever known.
Yeah, that's why you watch it, though, isn't it? It's a lovely thing to watch.
There's always a resolution at the end.
Oh yeah,
that's what I enjoy.
Yeah,
it's all wrapped up.
Somebody said to me about. I think it was Don Warrington, who's a legend of the show.
Yes.
He's just a wonderful man, and I think he made the point that. he feels that people love the show because life is complicated. But at the end of this show, everyone, you know, the bad guy gets caught. It's neat. It's neat and tied in a way that kind of life isn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, the good guys go and have a drink of rum on a beautiful beach at the end of it. And it just, it's the ultimate kind of like, everything's right with the world and now back to life.
I mean, it is about a community, isn't it? About people getting along together and about working together. And I think, like you say, we all get to know and love all the characters.
Yeah.
And I mean, is it... is it something that you always imagined yourself doing, something like this?
I was actually in series two.
Were you?
As a guest. I was,
were you murdered?
No, I wasn't. I was neither murdered nor the murderer. I was basically a red herring, which I think is lucky, because I think if I'd have been a murderer or murdered, I don't think they would have considered having me back.
Yes.
So that was a stroke of luck. But so even when I was there, I was watching Ben Miller do it, who's brilliant, and I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be just... Can you imagine how amazing it would be to be Ben doing this job? Oh, maybe one day. I didn't even think maybe one day. I did not think I'd ever get that lucky. So like when it was kind, you know, when it was offered to me, I was like, I honestly couldn't really even believe it.
Is it filmed on Guadeloupe?
Yes, Guadeloupe, which is a French Caribbean island.
Oh, beautiful! And how long did you spend out there?
6 months of the year.
Oh my God, that's the dream job, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean it does get very tough though, Tom. Sort of around about month four. Just like, I just don't want to swim in the Caribbean Sea again.
Oh, you know? That's hard.
If anything, it's too warm.
Too warm.
Yeah, who wants to get in the sea and it just be like a lovely bath?
Yeah, beautiful scenery, lovely people, great food, great rum. It must be terrible.
Yeah, it is. We struggle through.
Yeah. I mean, it must be hard coming back, if anything.
It is. There's a funny thing that, like, at the end of this year, I was like, because a change is always nice. I was there for the full 6 months and I was coming back to London and, you know, I was like, oh, it's going to be nice for a change. It's going to be nice. You know, change is always nice. Mm. And I got back and I was like, yeah, it's great to be back. And then after about 3 days, I was like, right, that's enough being back. I want to be in the Caribbean again.
It turns out it's raining here quite a lot.
I did say this last year when I came back. I think I was on, it might even have been this radio show. And somebody said, you know, how do you like being back? And the weather was particularly miserable. Mm. And I said, oh, it sucks being back. It absolutely sucks. The weather's dreadful. I mean, you know. Anyway, the next 2 days, headlines were, Ralph Little brands UK dreadful. I was like, that's not quite what I said, is it?
Yeah, they like to take things out of context. They like that. Turns out. Death in Paradise Series 12 begins tomorrow night, 9 p.m. on BBC One. Mm-hmm. And the series runs for a good few weeks. It kicked off on Boxing Day with the Christmas special, didn't it? But the series proper starts tomorrow. A lovely thing to watch on a January Friday night, especially if it's a bit cold and rainy outside. Mm-hmm. Oh, why don't you escape to a Caribbean island with Ralph? Mm-hmm. That's what I reckon. Ralph, thank you so much for joining us. It's been lovely to chat to you. We hope we see you very, very soon.
Thank you very much.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
We've heard from a bunch of incredible guests already, but still to come. Awesome Aussie Melissa George updates us on season 2 of her Apple TV Plus show, The Mosquito Coast. Scottish star Mark Bonner shares all about his latest show, The Rig, on Amazon Prime Video. And the oh-so-lovely Helen George tells us about series 12 of Call the Midwife, which started on New Year's Day. So let's get right back into it. This next guest has delivered hundreds of on-screen babies and even more iconic looks. She's been a staple of our Sunday nights for 11 years and is back with the 12th series of Call the Midwife, which continues on Sunday night at 8 p.m. on BBC One. Please welcome the most popular person in Poplar. It's Helen George.
Thank you.
Helen George, thank you so much for coming in to see us. Helen, you of course play Nurse Trixie. You return to play Trixie Franklin in the 12th series of Call the Midwife, which continues with episode 2 of the new series on this Sunday at 8 p.m. on BBC One and BBC iPlayer. Helen, what's it like being part of such an iconic series?
Well, I don't think of it like that for a start, because otherwise I'd just scare myself every day. Mm. It's amazing, though, because we started it and it was just 6 episodes one summer and we didn't even know we were going to do another series. And then to be here 12 years later, it's ridiculous.
Oh, but it's so wonderful. It's so uplifting. It's positive. I mean, what do you think has kept it going? What do you think is the thing that
I think the writing is amazing, and I think it's fresh. I think also these subjects that we tackle, even though it's a Sunday night drama, it's, you know, it's quite hard hitting, and some of the subjects are still relevant today. You know, a lot of the women's issues that we deal with still are. So I think it's interesting, and also the fact that, you know, there's nuns, and that's
always
lovely.
Always good, and isn't it?
It's always good.
I mean, you've never seen a show you don't like that's got nuns in
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
I mean, if you think Nuns on the Run, that was good, wasn't
Sound
it?
Sound of Music, Sister Sound Act. Of music,
Sister Act. These are all great things.
Great nuns.
Great nuns we've loved. Yeah. Sister Wendy, of course.
Oh.
A favourite of mine.
Glorious.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I love it as well for the history side of it.
Yeah.
I like learning about that kind of immediately after the Second World War, how the world was changing so rapidly. Mm-hmm. And also you see a lot of issues about social change and about class and about healthcare and about all manner of things, but it's applied. You see it applied to a, you know, a seemingly very realistic situation where people are trying to go about their lives in this community in East London.
Yeah.
I mean, you live in East London at the moment.
I do.
How does it compare to Poplar back in the day? Have you ever had typhoid is what I'm asking. I know that was an episode a little while ago.
No. Yeah, no, it's very different. And actually, we don't ever really film in East London that much anymore.
Oh, really?
because the landscape's just changed so much.
Yeah.
So we're studio-based, and then we work in Chatham Dockyards quite a lot because there's that, you know, it's much freer in space, and you can make it look
you can
like
make it
the
a bit
docks.
More... Yeah. Exactly.
Whereas now, you know, perfect. There's all these lovely, beautiful buildings everywhere and glass everywhere.
Oh, yes. There wasn't like a Soho house in the middle of
no
Call the Midwives.
There was no shard. Sushi Samba.
The Elizabeth line, for example.
Right.
Yeah, the DLR. Yeah. Those things hadn't come along, had they? It's been an exciting time for Nurse Trixie, though, hasn't it? You've had, I mean, the Christmas special, I was, you know, crying.
Oh, did you watch it?
Yes, of course I did.
Didn't
watch it as it went out, actually. My boyfriend is actually the person who's got me into this. My boyfriend Alfie and my friend Susie Ruffle, they're the two people who've really been the gateway for me to Call the Midwife. So we saved it and we watched it when we had some time to appreciate it. And of course one goes in like all lighthearted about it. And then by the end, everybody's crying.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. And a big change for Nurse Trixie is... Well, we can say she's got engaged.
She got engaged finally.
Finally, she's come back from Pontefrinto. Where was it? Where did she go?
Not in Wales. Where was she? Portofino.
Portofino. She went to Portofino. Came back in the Jack. She's posh, isn't she?
Well, she's marrying well. Let's say that.
Oh,
she's got a Jack.
He's got a Jack.
He's got a Jack.
I mean, I do feel a bit like, oh, come on, mate. Do you have to put up in the big Jag outside the convent? They're all skipping around and barely got bikes to go on, and you come up in your big motor.
In your big motor, but actually that car is an absolute nightmare. It's almost falling apart, and it's so hard to get out of, especially in a miniskirt.
Oh, yeah, because the fashions are stunning, aren't they? They're amazing. And Trixie, I think, has the best wardrobe in it, like all those great outfits and great,
she does
really
well.
Kind of power
dressing. The sequin power suit for the engagement scene was a particular favourite.
Oh, yeah, that was lovely, on the bridge.
On the
lovely
bridge,
scene
and
on the
I did
bridge,
leave
though.
Half of the sequins on Battersea Bridge.
Oh, did you? Oh, it's fine. I'm sure Trixie, she's going to buy another one, wouldn't she? She's spendthrift. Yeah, it was great. It was very exciting. But I was intrigued because how did Matthew Aylward, your betrothed, he in the Christmas special, there's a man who loses a doll's house and he just turns up with another one. Well, how did he get it? Did he have a doll's house knocking around?
We did ask that question.
Oh, good.
He's got, you know, very important friends at Harrods who would just open the store cupboard and there would be
that
a brilliant...
Explains it. That
absolutely.
That explains it.
Thank
that explains
you.
It absolutely fine. I also really like the Vanessa Redgrave voiceover at the end. Is she there when you actually are acting that last scene, whispering in the corner?
I wish she was, but I always sort of have undertones of her.
Do you in the back of it? Do you have her in the back of your head? You have like an earpiece playing Vanessa Redgrave.
I should do that.
You should do that. Like, don't actors, some actors do that. You could just have her saying wise things. You know, you must throw your ring.
Just in life.
Yeah, in life. That would be, people should sell that as an app.
As, exactly, like a podcast. She could have her own like soothing podcast.
Vanessa Redgrave, just say wise things. Just say things like miracles, love, in various orders. You must love and cherish and know what.
I love your impression.
Yeah, she was saying she'd
Gollum
smash me in the face.
Yeah,
it's a bit Gollum-y there. Sorry, Vanessa. Sorry. But she's so wise. She's always so wise, isn't she?
She did do an episode.
Did she?
Early on, yeah. She's in a very short well, she's in a scene in one of the earlier episodes, which was amazing. We all like bowed to her.
Oh, what was she trying to narrate it?
No, she was playing Jenny herself, but years on.
Oh, of course, because the narrator is based on the book by Jenny Worth. Yes, yeah, Jenny Worth.
Yeah, very good.
And I've got it on my notes. When you said it before, I could look. But Jenny Worth, Jenny Worth, and she does. Who's written this book about her life as a nurse during the 50s? Mm. And of course, it's all come out of there. Oh, it's a wonderful story. Anyway, find out more on episode 2 of Call the Midwife, which airs on BBC One at 8 PM this Sunday. And of course, you can get it all on the BBC iPlayer. Get it all, catch up on all of it. It's a perfect bit of January feel good viewing, isn't it? So thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Helen George, what a treat. Oh, what, this has made my week. This is the only reason I actually came in to cover the show this week. Just to talk to you again. Helen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Good luck with the rehearsals for The King and I.
Thank you so much.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's going on a UK tour. So
absolutely,
if you can get some tickets for that, you'll have a great time.
Oh, thanks.
Well done. Thanks, everyone.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Our next guest is an actor so slick, he'll have you in the palm of his hand with every performance. He's here to spill the beans on his next big gig, The Rig, which comes to Amazon Prime Video from tomorrow. He's never crude. In fact, we'd say he's our favourite Scottish star. Please welcome the well-oiled...
Scottish star.
I don't know why that was difficult for me to say. I did feel a bit bad for Martin Compston, though, as I said it.
That's why it stuck in my throat.
But please welcome the well-oiled machine. That is Mark Bonner.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Mark, that smooth introduction. Yes, we have an audience in the other room. They just come through for clapping. Mark, how are you this morning?
I'm slightly wilting after that introduction. Thank you, Tom.
Oh, you're so bashful. Not like an actor to be like that. Not like an actor at all. We're going to talk about your fabulous new series on Amazon Prime called The Rig.
Yes.
We are big fans of it here.
Oh, good.
And we were talking about it earlier. Well, I suppose I should let you describe it. How would you describe it?
I would say it's a supernatural thriller set on board an oil rig,
yes,
hence the title. Mm. Kind of personal stories of real people at its core.
Yes,
I guess.
Well, I know you play... Well, it sounds wonderful. That sounds a wonderful description of it, if you're not aware of what it is. Very atmospheric, though, isn't it, Rachel? Look, the fog coming in out on a deserted oil rig.
I loved the fact that it's set on an oil rig, because it's a lifestyle that is unfamiliar to most of us. So to get that flavour of how those people exist together in normal times, and then when about, you know, sort of a third into the first episode, things start to happen.
Yeah.
There's a proper... This doesn't give anything away. There is a seagull jump scare, shall we call
there
it?
Is.
I was sat on the platform at Harrow in the Hill and screamed out loud, much to the consternation of my other passengers.
Yes.
I was watching it on my phone.
Oh, yeah. And you just went to Harrow on the Hill to watch it, didn't you? You just always watch everything on the platform.
Nice to have the view.
It's great Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's nice to... Yeah, great Wi-Fi, great view. And so it's very atmospheric. Dark thriller. Mm. You, of course, play... You play Alwyn.
Yes.
It's described as what used to be called a working class intellectual, that's what it says here.
Is that how you would describe it?
A working class intellectual? I mean,
absolutely. He's the one that's reading the book in the corner all the time. He's got glasses.
That's a big part of it, isn't it?
You know, it's inevitable intellectual.
And the sort of not patriarch, but like father figure to a lot of the younger members of the...
Yeah, he's the kind of go-to... person, if you have a kind of gripe or a problem, who will sort it out quietly for you, you know, or just be a shoulder to cry on or an ear to listen, you know. And he's like a wise old owl in the corner.
Oh, yeah, which every team needs, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I think I'm that person, actually, on the team.
Do you?
No, I mean, I'm not really, not very wise. I'll probably tell everybody as well. Tell me your problems in secret. Oh, guess what? but I like it. Wise figure. And, of course, this sort of mutiny starts to emerge on board the rig when they're all deserted and the helicopter that was coming in is diverted and they're cut off out in the North Sea. Mm. Very bleak. What's going to happen? And it becomes a thriller, but it becomes about power and control.
There's a lot of competing personalities. There's a lot of vying for position because their lives are in danger, I guess.
Yes, there's ultimate jeopardy, yes.
Yeah, they're kind of trying to sort out what's going on because nobody knows what's going on. It's terrifying, really, you know. But these are people who are used to danger. So any fear that they've got comes out and it manifests itself in different ways, you know.
Yes, as it does for all of us, doesn't it? Mine is playing music on the radio. Because I don't know much about oil rigs either, other than the very heartbreaking Breaking the Waves. Did you ever see that film, Breaking the Waves?
Oh, yeah.
Very upsetting film about,
That's a great film, Breaking the Waves.
About that Aberdeen sort of those helicopters that go across, and that's got more of a sad bent to it. This feels a bit more dramatic, a bit more.
A bit more. I didn't know anything about oil rigs either before I started, really. I mean,
Who does, really?
Well, unless it's in the family, I suppose, or you've got pals that are on the rig.
Oh, I'd love to have an oil rig in the family. Josh, I wouldn't be working here. That's for a start.
It's a bit an unknown world to all of us, which I suppose is kind of part of the attraction of it, you know.
Yeah.
To see how it works, you know.
The intrigue of it. Yeah, I like that with anything, actually. Learning about a new way of life.
Yeah, that's a great thing about my job, is that I get to learn about a new aspect of history or life every kind of, you know, 6 months or so. It's wonderful.
That's what I always think good actors are great at then.
Did you spend much time out on an oil rig for the filming, or was it mainly in the studio?
None. I think there was originally a plan to have us either visit or film parts on a rig, but I think COVID scuppered it a little bit, and I think health and safety, logistically, it became too difficult. We filmed outside on the sort of Firth of Forth, and we filmed in the docks, the dry dock in Leith. Leith docks, we filmed a big kind of sequence there on the spider deck.
Because it was all done in Scotland, wasn't it?
It was all in Edinburgh, yeah.
It was all filmed in Leith.
Filmed in Leith, a sort of brand new studio up there.
It's an exciting time for...
It's great, it's already been fully booked since we left, you know.
Fantastic.
It's fantastic that all that work is happening.
Much nicer to be filming, I'd imagine, in Leith rather than on an oil rig. Because you've got all those lovely coffee shops, haven't you?
Well, you have now.
Cafes.
You never used to when I went to school there, but there are a few more coffee shops.
And there's a tram now. You've got the tram to take you up there, take you up, down and up.
Not yet.
Oh, is it still not working?
It is working.
Okay.
But it's not quite in Leith yet.
You know, I've spent a lot of time in Edinburgh and for the festival and whatnot, and I love it there, but it's always been the ongoing saga of when will the tram ever emerge? Maybe one day it'll go out to the oil rigs. It'll be a tram and a half, won't it?
It's wonderful to see it, actually, in Princess Street. It's a lovely thing to see.
Oh, yeah. And it goes to the top of Leith Walk, doesn't it?
It stops at the top of Leith Walk at the moment.
That's it. And then you're going downhill, so you don't need a tram. Just get yourself some wheels and just hope for the best. Get some roller skates. You'll be there in 5 minutes. Do you have a... Because you grew up in...
I wouldn't need roller skate down Leith Walk.
Would you not? The cobbles, you'd be thrown off all...
No cobbles, but I just wouldn't need roller skate down Leith Walk. You might be called out a wee bit.
I'll say you'll get
UJ,
the cold.
You are, pal. Roller skating down the walk.
I used to stay over that way when I was up there for the festival. I got to know it, and I got used to being shouted at. I didn't mind. Well, this has been a great chat. And remember, everybody, the rig... is available from tomorrow on Amazon Prime Video. Mark Bonner, thank you so much for joining us. I've loved this.
My pleasure.
And good luck.
Thanks for having me.
Well, anytime you drop by, especially if you wear that
nice
coat.
Maybe we'll get closer next time.
He's over the other side of the studio because we're still doing COVID sort of rules in here. But next time, you can sit as close as you like.
All right, I'll sit next to you next time.
But you can take that coat off next time, otherwise you won't feel the benefit.
I like my coat. Keeps me cozy.
Yeah, okay, if you're sure. Sure, we're not on an oil rig here.
It's after being pre-hypothermic.
Oh, yeah, he's been pre-hypothermic, everybody.
PTSD.
Give him a BAFTA.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Most of us would be happy with just being a Golden Globe nominated actor, but not our next guest. She's also a former model, an entrepreneur, and even an Australian artistic roller skating champion. Here to tell us all about Series 2 of The Mosquito Coast, available now on Apple TV+. Let's have a round of applause for the utterly gorge, Melissa George. Melissa.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Oh my God, with my deep voice, I just woke up.
Oh, we've been awake for about 8 hours at this point.
Dear.
Hours.
4 days straight.
Yeah, but if you tune into the show at 6:30, I sound like this. Good morning, everybody. Now, Melissa, you are starring as Margot in series 2 of The Mosquito Coast. Mm-hmm. And the last episode of the series actually lands on Apple TV Plus today. So people can now watch the whole series, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, we have season 1 already out, obviously, last year. Yes. And then season 2 ends today.
Yes.
And everyone can watch, I guess, 17 episodes if you're up for it.
And it's a real thriller, isn't it?
It's based on the book, Mosquito Coast. And then there was a film in the 80s with Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren.
Of course, yes.
And then today, 2023, we have myself and Justin Theroux playing the husband and wife criminals on the run.
Yes, environmental criminals on the run. So they're good. They've like done good. They've got a passion. They know what they're doing.
She's, you know, she needs to work on her skills a little more.
Well,
she's not that good environmentalist. I think she's just a bit crazy.
What skills would you like the character to work on, Melissa?
We'll see.
I would like that. What do you think? Maybe just like origami or something
just
like
origami,
that.
Just origami, knitting. Calm down in the jungle there in Mexico.
A bit of mindfulness.
Make some clothes for her children, maybe.
Oh, yes. They've got like NSYNC t-shirts on, haven't they?
I love that. Because, you know, Justin would show up in Britney Spears t-shirts, you know.
Oh, of course.
Because he's got an amazing fashion sense. And so I was so confused. I'm like, that's my husband. But he looks like he's just come out of a Britney Spears concert.
Maybe he had, in a way. If people are not aware of it, The Mosquito Coast follows the dangerous journey of Ali Fox, a brilliant inventor and stubborn idealist who uproots his family on a dangerous quest to find refuge from the US government, cartels and hitmen. That is a bit of a triple threat, literally. Not a triple threat in the sense of like they're on in the West End, but actually a real triple threat. In series 2, after barely escaping Mexico with their lives, the Foxes, that's their family name, they're not dressed up, and the Foxes venture deep into the Guatemalan jungle to meet up with an old friend and a community of refugees, ending up in a conflict between a drug lord and his family. Sounds like a comedy. Sounds like my average Thursday afternoon, to be honest, Melissa. It's always happening to me. No, it's very dramatic. What's it like playing such a dramatic storyline out? Is it?
I mean, we started way over in outside of California for season 1, and then the family moves, escapes, go to through the desert in Mexico.
Yes.
We get to Mexico City, we go to Puebla, we go to the beach, then we now get into this place called Casa Roja by boat.
Oh my goodness.
There's a storm, and then the whole time I like the fact that they're trying to be very responsible parents, but when you see what they've done to their children where they're heading, it's just hilarious. But she doesn't think anything of it.
That's true, actually. There is a sense of like, well, we're on a mission.
This is normal, sweetie. If you're not in school, then you should join us on an adventure.
And they don't have any contact with any electrical devices, which I think a lot of parents would admire.
It's great.
This is the only way to keep your children off an iPad. It's basically you have to take...
Just be a criminal.
Yeah, basically.
Go on Guatemala.
Be on the run from the cartels and from the Guatemalan.
No signal. No Wi-Fi out there.
Because as soon as they make contact, as soon as that family makes any contact with their folks...
Well, I did. My character calls her mum. She's been in hiding for 10 years. But she did it, I think, a bit on purpose.
She wants to get caught.
She wants to just end this journey.
You would be exhausted, wouldn't you?
But I love when the kids look at their mum and she asks in the car in season 1, like, could you pass me that bag, please? And the daughter's looking at her, like, shivering in the back seat. And she goes, no, that one. And then she just casually gets out like a loving mother and robs a bank, puts the money in, and comes back and drives off.
She's an amazing character
loving.
To play.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Like, there's so many facets. And I like the fact that when I signed on to season 1, they promised me by season 2 there would be so much... that the fault of the family is because of her.
Oh.
And you don't see that.
Yeah.
She's just like this lovely mother, librarian. But then you start to see her shoot out the tires and do all sorts of things. And the kids are like, who's our mother?
It's that sort of intensity. I think with people in real life as well, when they're quite sort of deadpan, I'm always so intrigued. Like, are you just quite a quiet person, or are you actually
the
sort of person
scary.
Who's going to take deadpan on board the US government? Escapes to Guatemala. Yeah, I mean, it must have been a lot of filming in quite inhospitable conditions.
Well, yes, it was Apple, so.
Oh, yeah, so it's fine.
It was pretty lovely.
The most fun
I had is when I left set and went to my hotel. I was like, this is not so bad.
Oh, so it's not quite as rough as it looks on that boat.
Oh, my God, I laugh so much because we were on a green screen and all of a sudden there was like a cannon of water that just shot in my face. I'm like, was that necessary? They're like, we're on a ship. You know, you've got to be out.
It's on a ship. I had no idea.
That's not nice.
Which I think is probably what the character would say as well.
Oh, like, she's just like, I got shot from one end of the boat to the other.
Oh, yes.
It was just like the guy was just aiming wrong.
Oh.
It was meant to wait till I cleared the lens, you know,
Oh,
and then fire the water cannon. But he just went 2 seconds too early.
Took you out.
Took me out to the other side of the boat.
Oh, was that? Were you cross with him or did you forgive him?
No, I just I couldn't see for like 3 days. But
oh, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm like,
oh, so there are some adventures to be had.
Oh my God, it was a lot of fun.
So season two, how does it continue then? Tell us.
Well, look, the season finale is today, so I won't give too much away. But I hope for a season three. It'd be great.
Oh yeah. Oh fine. So I mean, is there? It's not all in flashback though, is it? Series two.
It's not. No, it's just the first episode, and then you go back into the storyline, which is them leaving on season one on the boat. Season one is really strong. We had such brilliant directors, and you know, season two as well, of course. But I like the fact that if people tune in, it's nice to start from the beginning and go on the journey with this family and see where it takes us. But by the end of the season, it's a great ending.
Oh, well, I'm very excited because it is a real thriller, isn't it? It's a real proper like, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And I love that, especially this time of year, you know, when you just want to cozy up.
Scare yourself.
Imagine if we were on the run from the cartels and the US government. It'd
be stressful, I would imagine.
Oh, it'd be so stressful. Mm. And then you turn off, you know, the series finishes and you go, oh, that's not me. It's fine. Let's go and have another cup of tea. Melissa George, thank you so much for joining us. It's been lovely to chat to you. And The Mosquito Coast is available now on Apple TV Plus. You can watch both series of it, or you can start with the second one and just read a bit of a synopsis beforehand. But thank you so much for joining us. And Melissa, we'll see you in the gift shop after.
Yes, lovely.
Okay,
I'll
thanks
be there.
For coming in. You're brilliant. Have a lovely weekend. Bye.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast. Remember to subscribe so that you never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky. For now, toodaloo.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.